Mom, did you get one too?
No.
Grace and peace to you from the glorified one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I was in high school musicals way back in the day. I was, as a freshman, I was in Little Abner. And then as a sophomore, I was in Damn Yankees. And then a junior year, I think, was Guys and Dolls. And then my senior year was a dud of a musical. It was called The Boyfriend. It's just a bad musical. Sing a song? No. I never had a major part. I went to a large high school, 700 kids in my graduating class. I was one of those backstage actors who was always reacting to what was happening on the main stage. And I remembered, like, wondering, how do I lip sync? What do I say? And I learned two things. Watermelon 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you'd be like, and then it would be spaghetti sauce is spicy. And then you would just always talk about watermelon 1, 2, 3 if you didn't know what else to say. Anyway, that's what we'd be doing backstage. If you ever want to read lips, what the people backstage, they're not really saying anything. It's usually something that you're just repeating over and over and over. I'm sure there's, Isaac, I'm sure there's more refined things that backstage kids say nowadays. I don't know. No? No, that's about what it is. I'm trying to read your lips there, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, I was one of those guys. I was a backstage commoner. I was one with the crowd. To this day, I still love musicals. There are many ways that musicals can take people to another time and place. Like when the main actor sets out kind of by himself, breaks away from the crowd, the spotlight pans on the main actor, and perhaps a little piano prelude comes, and they look up and they start to sing and sort of reveal something that's deep in their heart, a dream, an aspiration, something that takes the audience to a different time and place where it's almost a monologue that's just melodious, and it takes people to a different place. Meanwhile, the backstage folks are kind of frozen in the dark. They're standing there as if time is standing still. Just trying to hold their pose. And so that's what I like about musicals. It takes us out of the natural rhythm of what life is normally like. In normal life, we don't just break out into song and just don't do that. I don't think it would go over very well. I remember just like, oh, that's kind of weird. It gives everyone a chance to sort of catch their breath as this person goes and sings this song. It kind of gives, it's kind of a break in the busy plot of the show. And so today, this is a rare glimpse. In verse 27 and 28 today, Jesus is having a conversation like in the spotlight with his Father God. It's written differently. In verse 27 and 28, he looks up to his Father God and he says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father God, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour." Jesus walks over to stage left as if to sort of sense and feel the gravity and the weight of this time. And he says, "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice from heaven comes down saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The spotlight fades, the scene changes drastically, and Jesus walks amongst the crowd. There is the crowd. Usually they're confused. This time is no exception. There's mutterings and murmurings that are sort of detected. It's like these lip syncings in the background sort of become audible. Like, hey, what'd you hear about? What was Jesus saying over there? Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden it becomes more audible. And one of the characters from the backstage says, hey, that sounded like thunder. And then another character in the back said, no, I thought it sounded more like an angel. The crowds were confused as to what this voice was from heaven. And anytime, this is the director's cut, by the way, this is sort of the rubrics of, anytime you see the word crowd in the Bible, it's usually associated with confusion, chaos, and usually not good things. It ends up being the crowds that will crucify Jesus on Good Friday. The crowds, anytime you see it, it means the masses that are kind of confused about things. And so meanwhile, back here in Pine River, as we recall last week, Nick at night, Nicodemus came at night, yes, and was inquiring about God, Jesus. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. And here today in John's gospel, the crowd is in the darkness, and Jesus is in the light once again. And so in John's gospel, we always have this clash between darkness and light. This clash with worldly and not of this world. These two kingdoms. This worldly word, or cosmos in Greek, means a fallen realm or an estrangement from God. So world, this term, can be translated to system as well. Like a construct or a system. Whether it's financial, governmental, societal, economic, or a system in another realm of poverty or power, or the list goes on and on of what these systems might look like. And so when Jesus says, no, my kingdom is not of this world, it's like my kingdom is not of this system. Any of these systems that you can all imagine. My kingdom comes not in power, or, well, it comes in peace. My kingdom doesn't come in not overstanding, but understanding. It comes not in lording over, but being this Lord who serves. Not coming to be served by people, but to serve. My kingdom comes in community and not isolation. Love and not fear. And so just as world and not of this world presented friction in the gospel, in this narrative, Jesus' glory is sort of an opposite as well. Glory in this context is more gory than it is glory. It's more suffering than it is stardom. And it's so no wonder why we as the backstage players, or the crowd in our gospel for today, we don't get it. Was that thunder? Or was that an angel? Or what is going on with Jesus? Why is he feeling confused right now? Is this glory? Is glory a good thing? Everyone wants glory, right? I don't know. And so Palm Sunday, next week, it becomes the ultimate expression of how the people don't get it. Because Jesus comes in and we're shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's so happy. The people are jubilant. The service is going to be jubilant. It's happy. But in the snap of a finger, it turns to Passion Sunday just like that. In one service, but we want to be happy on Palm Sunday. We're going to keep that toward the Good Friday service, the Passion part of it. And so the crowds are in the dark as to who this Jesus is. It switches from Palm to Passion in an instant. And so, theatrically speaking today, Jesus walks out into the spotlight. He comes back. He goes back into the crowd, and there's a scene change. Jesus goes off stage, and then backstage there, and then what does he do? He helps the people who are the people who do the moving, the set design, the people who are the scene change crew. And Jesus comes out and he changes the scene for a new view, a new kingdom for you, the audience. And that is a scene that we can only imagine. We don't know what that new scene is going to look like. But I can tell you that new scene is going to be filled with sort of opposites of possibilities. Instead of, well, this is just how it might look in our worlds. Instead of complaints, try compliments. Instead of fixing, try understanding. Instead of glory, seek service. Instead of worldly, seek the kingdom. Instead of later, try now. Yes, the kingdom begins now. That's the difference that faith makes in our lives today. And this is what the difference is that Jesus makes for God in our worlds. Jesus gives us hope when things seem hopeless. Jesus loves when the world says hate. Jesus joins Jews and Greeks together, and all of us to join as community, rather separate and isolated. Jesus is hope for our hurting world. And so, yes, let us today sing in praise. And may it be confusing whether it sounds like thunder as we sing or if it sounds angelic as we sing. But let us sing, we will glorify thy name. Glory.